As many of you know, during this Lenten season, we have challenged all the members of our congregation to read the purpose-driven life. And I have chosen to preach on the basic themes, six themes of that period during this season. And today we look at the first purpose that we have, and that is to live according to the purpose of God, that we were created for God's pleasure. That's our purpose in existing. And that's really our purpose in being here when we gather together as Christians. That worship is to be here for His pleasure. Let me ask you a question. Now, looking at our setup and how we're gathered here, who's the audience? Who's the audience? Huh? God's the audience. You know, we're not the performers up here and you're the spectators. God is the audience. And we all gather to play our part in this wonderful drama every Sunday morning if we're to fulfill that first purpose, to truly live for His pleasure. Paul tells us in Ephesians, we live for the praise of His glory. That's our ultimate purpose for existence. Now, have you ever created something? You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm not a creative person. But, you know, somewhere back there, even when you were a little kid, you had to create something. You know, if it was nothing but a clay ashtray for your parents or something like that. That says a lot about smoking, doesn't it? That when we were little kids, we made ashtrays. I remember that in my background. I don't know about you. But you see, when we create to please ourselves first. We might be creating something to give to mom and dad when we're a child or to a friend. But we must somehow satisfy ourselves in that creation. There's some picture in our mind that we're trying to capture in whatever creative project is being undertaken. And we do that for our enjoyment, for our pleasure, to meet our goals. And God is no different because He created us in His image so we can look at ourselves and we get a little glimpse of God. God created all of us in this entire universe for His pleasure. God didn't need us, but God wanted us. So He created us for His pleasure. Therefore, we're to live to the praise of His glory. Now, the question I really have for you today, I don't know if you've ever been asked this, are you in love with God through Jesus? Are you in love with God through Jesus? Is that your relationship? You do remember falling in love, don't you? Don't you remember what it was like, falling in love? Well, you know, out of that experience, I think, come six things, and these are the six things that Warren talked about in his book, but I call it falling in love with God through Jesus. And it's very much like our situation of a falling in love, but a part of my creative need is alliteration, so all of these begin with C. You know, when we fall in love, we're in constant conversation with our beloved. I remember when Jane and I fell in love on the campus of Methodist College many, many years ago. And we would spend all day together that we could, that we weren't in classes. And then I would drive home. I was pastoring my first church when I was 19. So I'd drive out Highway 87 to the parsonage next to Marvin United Methodist Church. And the first thing I did when I got into the house was what? Call Jane. Yeah, you have been in love, haven't you? Is call Jane on the phone and talk another hour or two. Of course, she was at the dorm and she couldn't talk as much because the girls were lined up at the payphone and they were urging her, get off, you've been with him all day. So constant conversation. You see, if we're in love with God through Jesus, we need to be in constant conversation with our beloved God, with our Lord. Talking to Him all of the time. The next thing is continual meditation. When you're not with them talking to them, you're thinking about them. They're on your mind. You almost feel obsessed. You're almost relieved when you have to deal with something so intensely that you forget them for a while. Because you're always meditating on what it is to be in love with this person. Isn't that nice? Isn't that a wonderful feeling? God wants that from us. To be constantly meditating on the meaning of being in love with Him, being in relationship with Him through the sacrifice of His Son, Christ Jesus. And then third, complete honesty. You know, this is the person that I want to be with for a lifetime. So you just open up your heart with all kinds of things if you're truly in love. And you just share things and you talk about, you know, I haven't been able to share this with anyone else but you. You are just so special to me. I've longed for someone that I could share these kinds of things with in a relationship. God wants that from you and me. For us to be honest about who we are, what we're struggling with, what is difficult for us, what is problematic to us, what we're wondering about, just open and sharing, because God knows all of the thoughts of our mind anyway. But are we willing to be completely honest? And in our relationship with God, maybe that ends up being honest with ourselves, because God already knows what's going on. But can we be honest in the relationship? You know, it's kind of like your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend catches you doing something you said you wouldn't do. They know it, and you know they know it, but you don't want to talk about it. But you see, if we're completely honest, we'll bring it up. I remember doing that one time, and boy, I got into big trouble. You know, it kind of works against honesty sometimes. Because I was so proud of myself going to be honest with Jane about an encounter with another female, and how I thought, well, I did pretty good. I didn't get sucked into this kind of situation that could have gone in another direction. And boy, did I have to pay for that for about 2 weeks. But you know, sometimes our honesty hurts. Maybe not the other person so much. We end up getting hurt while they're dealing with what we share. If we're going to have a good relationship with our God, we've got to be honest in ourselves about what's really going on, because God already knows the truth. We've got to have a commitment in faith. We've got to trust that person. We're not always together. And I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes when you fall in love, you get a little bit jealous. And when they're not with you, you're wondering, well, I'm thinking about them. I hope they're thinking about me instead of some other guy or some other woman or whatever. But you see, we have got to be committed in faith to that loving relationship. And God wants that in our relationship, in our love life with Him. Committed in faith to trust those things we don't quite understand. Committed in faith to accept those things when we maybe don't see a good ending, or maybe we don't expect a good ending. That when you love someone, you are committed in faith to hang in there even when it's difficult and painful. You know, a number of weeks ago, I remember we had a couple of young people down here on the front row, and I said, did you ever notice in the wedding ceremony, it never asks if you love each other? It asks, will you love each other? Will you be committed in faith to love me even when you don't feel that I'm being very loving and you don't feel very loving? That is commitment in faith. God wants that. You know, I've been so thankful that Rick Warren says that our faith is not always about positive feelings. There are going to be times we don't get good, warm, positive feelings in our relationship with God. Sometimes there's a purpose in our suffering and our agonizing and our struggling with things. We've got to be committed in faith to make it through those times in our relationship if we're going to be in love with God in Christ. Do you remember when you were dating? How you worked so hard to share what your beloved liked? You know, I can remember that in my relationship with Jane, but it changes perspective when you become a parent and you see your kids dating. And I just loved it when my son-in-law Michael was dating Lisa. I mean, here's good old country boy who really likes hunting and fishing and NASCAR and all that kind of stuff, and here he is dressing up going to a classical concert. Now that's valuing what the beloved values. And you know, they've been married quite a few years and he still does that. Of course, I had never seen Lisa at a NASCAR race though. I'm going to have to remember that. But you see, when you're in love with somebody, you really work hard to like the things they like. This is my beloved. This is the person who means something to me. If it's important to them, it's important to me. I might have to work out a little harder than they do, but if I love them, I've got to embrace the things they love as well. That's what God wants us to do. Value the things I value. If you really love me, what did Jesus say in this passage? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you value me, what do I value? God values the poor, the downtrodden, the sick, the rejects. Are we in love with him enough to value what God values? And the last one, boy, I can remember this even though it's been, 38 years ago. Craving the presence of the beloved. Oh, I just can't wait till the next time I'm with her. Just can't wait until I can see her again. I just can't wait until I hear that giggle or that laugh. I can't wait until I see that special look in her eye. Remember that? At the time you're away, you're longing to be with them in our relationship with God. If you're really in love with God in Christ Jesus, do you just crave to be in his presence? Do you just hunger and thirst to draw near to him? Is there a passion in you just drawing you? I've got to be in his presence again. It is just so special, so wonderful. I want to be there. You see, we can only be the church triumphant if we're truly in love with God in Jesus Christ. Just like we fell in love with someone in our past. Loving God is not an intellectual. It's something that just possesses all of you. Are you in love with God in Christ Jesus? That's what he desires. That's what worship is all about. It consumes every minute of every day if these kinds of things are in our relationship with God. We're worshiping not just when we're here, but every moment of every day. If we think about loving God is better and greater than falling in love with another human being. Are you in love with God in Christ Jesus? That's what he wants. Let us pray. Gracious Father, oh, you loved us so much. Your son said that relationship was so special, he didn't want his disciples to feel like they were servants and he was master. He called them friends. He said, I laid down my life for my friends. You can't have a greater love than that, he said. And then he told them, you're my friends because you know what is in my heart and mind. Father, help us not to be at a distance from you, but to be in love with you so we know what you're thinking, that we can be involved with you every moment of the day, and that is the true worship that you desire because you gave that, Son. to suffer and die for us, and he gave himself and gives himself to us today when we receive the cup and the bread. May we renew our love affair with you, Father. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.